If mum's not here, talk to her. Make sure you do. Give her a hug. Send her flowers. Do whatever you need to do to honour your mum today. I want to welcome all the mums today. I want to give the mums another big welcome today. Nice to see you. Come out early for church this morning. Of course, on Mother's Day every year, we give an opportunity to dedicate children, babies, toddlers to the Lord. It's what we do as a church. In some churches, what they do in terms of infant dedication and presenting infants to the Lord is they sprinkle babies in an act of dedication to the Lord, which is good. We as a church don't have that practice. We have the practice of what we call child dedication, baby dedication, where we dedicate children on behalf and with their parents to the Lord. Baby dedication scripturally is something that's based on an Old Testament thought and a New Testament thought. In the Old Testament, we have Hannah. Hannah was a lady that was barren, who was desperate to have children, and she prayed and sought God and asked God for a child. And she said, God, if you give me a child, if you give me a son, I will give him to you forever. And so she gave birth to a baby called Samuel. And she kept her word. She took Samuel to the house of the Lord and presented Samuel to the priest and gave him to the priest that he might abide in the house of the Lord forever and become a servant of God. So we do it based on the story of Hannah and Samuel. We do it also based on the story of Jesus, which I want to read to you from the book of Luke today. And this is what Luke records in regards to the presentation of Jesus at the temple on the eighth day after he was born. It says, 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel even before he was conceived. When it was the time for the purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child, his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. And so they offered a sacrifice according to what was required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man named Simeon who lived in Jerusalem. He was a righteous man, very devout and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he eagerly expected the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. And so when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, Lord, now I can die in peace, as you promised me. I have seen the Savior you have given to all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and Mary were amazed at what had been said about Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, this child will be rejected by many in Israel, and it will be their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy to many others. Thus, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. So Jesus himself was taken to the temple after being circumcised on the eighth day to be presented and offered and dedicated back to the Father. It's the heart of every mum. It's the heart of every dad that follows Jesus to present them, their child, to the Lord, that this child might live under the blessing and the goodness and the favour of God. And so the law doesn't require us to do anything today in terms of children, but what we do out of a love relationship with God, we give a grace response which says, God, I want your blessing and your favour on my family. I want your blessing and your favour on our children. And we ask that you'd help us as parents. And so when it comes to a baby dedication or a child dedication, it's not just a dedication of a child or a baby or a toddler to the Lord. It's a dedication of two parents asking God to help them, acknowledging that they need the help of God. Every parent in the room that has ever raised a child to become a teenager or a young adult knows you need more help and resource than you have in your own heart, your own capacity, and your own home to help in that process. And so they come today and they stand before us as a church community and they ask us to be their family. And they ask us to help them. They say it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a church to raise a child also. So every one of us plays a part and a special part in this today. We're going to ask three couples to come to stage today, one at a time. They're going to come one at a time with their families today, whoever they wish to bring to stage. I'm going to ask Tim and Jess Greenslade if they would come first of all to stage. Pastor Daryl and Marichelle are also going to come. And we're going to dedicate today little Talia Lee Greenslade. Talia Lee Greenslade. Come on over. Beautiful. So this is Tim and Jess and their beautiful little family. And they've come to dedicate their second child to the Lord. A little girl. And she's lovely and all dressed up today. And we're going to see if she'll come into my arms and behave today is what we're going to do. So let's see how you go. I'm an expert at this, Talia. Just relax. She's good. She's good. I'm a granddad, so I know what I'm doing. Or I think I do. I've never dropped one yet. But there's always a first. There's always a first. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she lovely? Beautiful little bubby. So full of life and potential and growing in her personality and personhood in who she is. And she has a wonderful, amazing future ahead of her, and she has an awesome privilege being raised in the house of God. And so today we're going to pray for this beautiful little baby and pray that God would bless her days, God would protect her, and God would provide for her all the days of her life. And then we're going to also pray for Mum and Dad. Would you reach out your hand as we pray today? Father, we pray today for little Talia. We thank you for her. She's beautiful. And we just pray for the grace and the goodness and the favor of God to be on her all the days of her life. Keep her from harm. Protect her every day of her life. Go before her. Keep her well, happy, safe and sound. And we pray for her future story, that her future story would be beautiful. We pray, let a noble theme rise in her heart and let her achieve all the dreams and plans and thoughts that you have for her future, and that her mum and dad have, I pray, for her life. In Jesus' name, bless her today. Amen, amen, amen. Do you want to go back to Mum? Here we go, darling. Here we go. Let's pray for Mum and Dad today, because they are going to need it, and so is little brother Josiah. They're going to need it today, all the help of God. Father, we thank you today for Mum and Dad. Thank you for Tim. Thank you for Jess and for little Josiah today. We're praying for the favor and grace of God upon them as parents, as young parents. It's the most challenging job in the world to be a mother and to be a father and to be a family. I pray grace them, Lord, with your presence, your kindness, your compassion, your grace, your understanding today. May they know, God, that all of heaven's resources are available to them and our resource too. Father, we stand with them today as a family, and we're here to help. And we just pray that you would smile upon them today and their beautiful family. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Tim. God bless you, Mama Jess. And we've got a little gift and a Bible and also a certificate for you. Why don't you give them a big hand as they leave stage today? Thank you very, very much. Oh, photos, sorry. Stay and get some special photos. Take your time. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you very much. Why don't you welcome to stage Nathan and Jess Bond and their family, if they would come, please. Nathan and Jess Bond, thank you. And we're going to dedicate today little Jacob Gregory Cameron Bond. Jacob Gregory Cameron Bond. Hello. This is Nathan and Jess and their family. And Nathan and Jess are also a part of our church. And just beautiful to see their family growing and extending. And look at this little man today. He's having a good look around, checking everybody out. I wonder what he'll be. What do you think he'll do? What, he looks like a sparky, does he? Looks like a bright spark, Brad. It looks like a bright spark. His first words were huggy. His first words were huggy, were they? Huggy, that's cute. That's cute. What do you think he might be, Dad? What do you think? Do you think he might be what? He might be pretty great. Pretty great. He might be an astronaut. Might go to the moon. He might be a pilot. He might be a train driver. You might be a preacher. He could be anything. Hey, why don't you let him come to me? See if he'll come. Oh, he's a robust little boy. Look at him. Look at that. Get a load of those people out there. Don't be scared of them. I look at them every week. I know it's scary. I know it's scary. It's very scary. He's pretty relaxed. He's pretty cool. I think he will be a train driver. Just sit back and be cool. You know, the amazing thing is to me is that every one of us started like this. Every one of us started like this. We started little, this little capsule, this little body full of opportunity, hope, potential, just taking life in, and he could be anybody. He could be anybody, literally, mum and dad, he could be anything. Anything, and you have the privilege today as a father and a mother to help shape and mold and gather all the resource that this little personality needs to become exactly who God has called him to be. Not only do mum and dad have dreams for him, you know the Bible says that God has dreams for him. God has hopes and dreams and aspirations for this little boy that he would grow up to be a wonderful and amazing young man who would make a difference in this world. So we're going to pray for the potential of God to be unleashed on him. Why don't you reach out your hand as we pray together today for little Jacob. Father, we thank you for little Jacob. What a blessing he is to his mum and dad. He's a gift from heaven. And we pray today that you would favour him. We pray today you would grace him with your very presence. We pray today that his heart would always be close to you. We pray today that he would serve you and know you and love you with all of his heart. We pray, God, that he would fulfil the future that his mum and dad and also heaven has seen for him, and that they hope and they pray for him. So we lay hands on him today and we present him to you and we dedicate him to you for the goodness and favor of God to watch over him and protect him all the days of his life in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give him back to Dad and to Mum today, and we're going to pray also for Nathan and Jess. Father, we thank you for this beautiful family. Once again, a young family that love you, a young family that want to serve you with all of their hearts. And we pray, God, help them to do that. Help Mum and Dad to be an example. Help Mum and Dad to be a role model. Help Mum and Dad to be present, Lord, in everything they need to do in the busyness of life. And I pray you would equip them, you would resource them, you would bless them, you would favor them. You would speak to them. You would give them the hope and the health and the help that they need to be everything they need to be for their family. I pray in Jesus' name. Bless this journey together for this family. May it be a beautiful story, is what we pray in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen, amen, amen. Bless you, Nath. Bless you, Jess. God bless you, love. We've got a little gift for you also for Bubby, and a Bible, first Bible, and a certificate for you also. God bless you. Look for the camera. Get some photos. Look that way. Straight ahead. Good deal. Why don't you give him a big hand as I leave stage? Congratulations. Our last couple that we're going to dedicate today, we're going to ask Ray and Laura Lee to come to stage, and they're going to bring little Hugo to stage. Why don't you give them a big welcome as they come to stage also today? Well, today's a double special day for Ray and Laura and little Hugo. Ray and Laura and their family now have been a part of our church for a little while, and they came to us from New Zealand, and they are returning to New Zealand this week to live. And so today is your last service. Is that right? Today is the last service in our church for Ray and Laura. No doubt they'll be back and visiting with us, and we have just appreciated and loved so much your presence as a part of our church family. You made a difference from the first day that you came, and we're sad to see you go, but we bless you as a family to see you go. And it's our privilege to dedicate this beautiful baby boy to the Lord today. Here we go. Come on, Mr. Hugo, come into my arms. Look at you. Aren't you cute as? Aren't you cute as? I expected to see him in black and white.
That's what I expect. I expected to see him wearing an All Blacks jersey today. I'm a little disappointed. I thought he was going to do that because I think, I prophesy, I declare that he will return to this land from the land of the long white cloud, and he will have black and white, and he will hurt our nation greatly. He'll probably play for the All Blacks. There's no doubt about it. He's solid. He's solid. And God help the man that gets hit by this man when he plays rugby union for New Zealand in years to come. He's just a cute little bundle, and look at him all smarted up and looking really dapper today with his little bow tie on. And I think he's going to be a salesman. I think that's what he's going to be. I think this one is going to be a salesman. I think he is going to, either that or he's going to go into fashion. You're going to be a model. You know what I mean? He's looking at, he's going to be something great. There's no doubt about that. He's Ray and Laura's first child, and he's a dream come true for them. And once again, he's a gift from heaven to their hearts and to their home. And we're going to pray for God's blessing and favour. And we're going to pray right now because he's breaking my arm. So let's come this way. We're going to pray together. Father, we thank you for this little bundle of joy. So much joy and love was brought into the world when he came home to his mum and dad. And we thank you for him, Lord Jesus. And we pray for the favour and the goodness and the grace and the blessing of God on his life. May all of his days be just under your covering and protection is what we pray, and help him to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God. We pray in Jesus' name to do good things in our world, Father, and Lord, just help him to live a great life and have an amazing story to tell is what we pray. May he bring blessing and joy to his mum's heart and his dad's heart and his family's heart all the days of his life, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you back to Mummy now, and we're going to pray for Mum and Dad. Father, we thank you for Ray. Thank you for Laura. They're a beautiful couple and a lovely family. And we're sad today they're leaving our home, but they never leave our hearts. And we pray your blessing on them, Father, as they journey in life. And may the journey go well. And may they know the favor of God and the provision of God. And may they lean close into your heart, find a new church home. And may they always have family around them that will be there for them and love on them and help provide for them. Continue to build their family and bless their marriage and their relationship together is what I pray today in Jesus' amazing name. Amen. 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 God bless you, Ray. Bless you, my friend. God bless you, Laura. We've got little gifts here. Don't forget us. And first Bible. Get some special photos. Beautiful. Why don't you give them a big hand as they leave stage? Thank you.
We're just going to take a moment now to do some Mother's Day presentation so we can play the DVD. That'll be great. Thanks.
This spring.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to all the mums in the house. My name is Hannah, and this is my sister, Gabby. We want to take a few moments to acknowledge and honour some special mums in our church today. When we call your name, please stand up in where you are so we may present you a small token of appreciation.
The first mum we would like to honour today is the newest mum. She is not new, but she is a key part of our creative team and does an amazing job leading us into worship. She is tall too. Please acknowledge our newest mum, Candace Bay.
The next mum we'd like to honour is Jade Petcher.
The next mum we would like to honour is Susan Jones.
Yeah.
next mum we would like to honour is Bernie Beaufond.
The next mum we would like to honour is Rachel Corbett.
The last mum we would like to honour is Linda Ladder.
Thank you, girls. We also like to say a very special thank you for the mum of the house who could not be here today. She's not well. So if you can put her in your prayers today, Pastor Cheryl Sorey's not here. So, just spare a thought and a prayer for her as she's not feeling well at all today and can't be here. Okay, we have the great opportunity, though, of our senior pastor here at Impact Church to come to speak to us on Mother's Day. So we'd like to introduce to you Pastor Tony Sorey. Thank you.
Well, it's always my privilege to speak here at Impact Church, and it's not a new thing for me. If you're a new person, I speak every week, but I don't often speak on Mother's Day. And so this is a little unusual today, but I'm going to do my best today to talk to not only all the mums, but to also talk to everybody today about something that's very, very important. The title of my talk today is called True Identity. True Identity. Now, I'm not a mum, but one of the things I've observed about mothers and not just in the early stages of mothering. We've acknowledged today our newest mum, Candace, and good on you, Miss Candace. And as a new mum, it's a really exciting journey. But can I just say this? The journey goes on for a long time. It's kind of like the holiday that never ends. And you know when you go on holidays as a family and you just get down the driveway and you're not even out of your street, and what are the words you hear from the back seat of the kids? Every parent's heard them. They're the most irritating words you could possibly hear besides, can we go to McDonald's? It's, are we there yet? Of course we're not there yet. And you know, as a mum, I don't know whether you ever arrive. A mum is such a big journey. It starts out really exciting, and you come home and you have this new little person living in your room and sleeping in your bedroom and screaming and crying. And after about 2 days, it's like, can we put this one back? And I'm sure we got the wrong one. And can we take another one home? Somebody's got our baby. It's a big journey. It's a journey that moves from infant toddler stage into preschool stage and preschool stage through the schooling years, primary and then high school, and all the issues that come with reaching puberty and raising children through that stage and that transition of life. And then you just kind of get them reasonably organized and reasonably adultish, and they want to leave home, and then they leave home, and then they come back again, and then they leave home, and then they come back again. And raising children is a never-ending job. I thought it finished when they turned 18. But apparently it doesn't. And so for a mum, can I say this? It never ends. You may be a young mum here today, you may be a middle-aged mum, you may be an old mum. You will be a mum till the day you go home and see Jesus. You will be a mum. And the same for us as dads. It goes on forever. And I think part of the issue with that is this, is it's so easy for a mum, and no matter what stage of life you're in, whether you're in the stage of life that's exciting and brand new, like Miss Candace is, and Richie, with a beautiful little bubby who's just come home. I think one of the challenges for a young mum, if I can speak from an old dad's perspective, that's me, from an old dad's perspective into that, is this, it's so easy to lose your identity as a young mum. When, you know, your career adjusts and changes and life changes so much, and all of a sudden you have to learn to give so much for this little one that is so needy and so demanding of your time and your energy and your focus, and so much of your identity can feel lost in that time. And I think for a lot of mums and a lot of women who go through these transitions of seasons, there is a real sense of loss of identity. For some, they literally lose their career and have to reinvent themselves. For some, they get to the stage where their children leave home and they think, what now?
What now? Where's my identity now? Because so much of their identity is tied up in the actual physical caring of and for their children and their loved ones. And so I think it's a particularly challenging journey for the heart of a woman and the heart of a mother as they go through life. And so identity is a real issue. For the rest of us, identity is a real issue in our everyday living because our identity is constantly under attack. We know it through social media. If you've got a Facebook account or a Twitter account or some other form of social media, you've no doubt experienced when someone's endeavoured to rob your identity and maybe a friend's identity. And you've received a friend request from a friend that you're already a friend with. And they're saying weird things like they want to give you money. And if you just send all your details and your bank account details and your if you get one of those, by the way, can I just say it's a scam? And first thing you do is contact your friend. Just contact your friend and ask them or whatever. But don't get involved in communication with these people because they're just trying to exercise fraudulent activity to get something from you. They're out to use you. They're out to steal something from you. They want to steal you, literally. They want your face. They want your address. They want your license number, your bank account details. They want your story. Why? So they can steal something from you and others that are connected to you. So we understand what it is to face the trauma of identity theft in our natural world through the social media that we use and the complex workings of society today. And it kind of poses a question, why would someone want to steal my identity? I mean, really, why would they want to steal my identity? I'm not that important. I mean, it's not like I'm Donald Trump, thank God. It's not like I'm Kim Jong-un. It's not like I'm some important figurehead. Why would they really want to steal my identity is the thought that we can have. And can I share this thought in response to that? We have an enemy that wants to steal everybody's identity. We have an enemy that wants to steal for every believer, we have an enemy that wants to steal and capture and restrict and harness our identity. He literally wants to take over. He literally wants to take control of not only our past, but also our present, and not only our present, but our future story. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy from us. John 10:10, God says, I have a plan for you. I've got a beautiful plan for you. I've got a great storyline for you. The script I have for you is amazing. It's a script where you will live in abundance of life, and you will live life and life to the full. But be warned, there's another story. There's another script. There's another being involved, and his name is Satan, and his plan is to steal, rob, and destroy from you. Steal, rob, and destroy from you. He's literally out to kill the future of your life because he also has a plan. So our identities are always under attack. Always under attack. You see, the devil is our very real present enemy. He's quite happy for us to attend church and look like we're Christians. He's quite happy for that. He's quite happy for us to do Christian things and feel good about the Christian things that we do. But his real plan is to mess with our heads and mess with our hearts and mess with our story and mess with our future so that we shrink back from who God says we are and we believe lies about ourselves and we lose our self-sense and our self-awareness and our God-given calling and opportunity and potential. You see, if the devil can steal your identity, he can rob us of our potential, and he can also rob us of our future and our purpose. His total aim is this. It's to stop these two things colliding, our potential and our purpose. There's a story in the book of John, chapter 4. It's a story of a day that Jesus was really tired and really thirsty, and he'd been journeying for some time, and he comes upon a well. And he's sitting at this well. I want to read this to you. It's fairly lengthy. It says this. It says, Jesus left Judea and returned again to Galilee. And now he had to go through Samaria. And he arrived at a Samaritan town called Sychar, next to the tract of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, about noonday. And then a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, can you please give me a drink? for his disciples had gone off into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman asked him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew about God's gift of eternal life and who it is who asks you to give a drink, me a drink, give me a drink, you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water, eternal life." And she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, no bucket, no rope, and the well is deep. Where did you get this living water from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, who used to drink from it himself and his sons and his cattle also?" And Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water, satisfying his thirst for God, welling up, continually flowing, bubbling within him to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not get thirsty, nor have to continually come all the way here to draw." See, not only was Jesus tired, she was tired. She was tired of daily routine. She was tired of life. She maybe was tired of being a mother. She was tired of what life had done to her. And here's Jesus tired and thirsty, and he asks her for a drink. And then all of a sudden her tiredness comes out of her heart. And Jesus said, it says this, "Go call your husband and come back." And a woman said, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus said to her, "You've answered correctly. I do not have a husband. But you have had five husbands, and the man you're now with is not your husband. And you have said this truthfully." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet." This is an amazing story. It's a story of not only a day when Jesus was tired and thirsty and longing for a drink, but it was also a day where a woman who was just tired of doing the same routine day in, day out. If there's anything that mums get tired of, it's a routine of life, day in, day out, the same thing. And in that pattern, they can easily and very easily lose their sense of identity and a sense of perspective and a sense of reality in life and just go through the routines. And that was this woman's case. And she came, and when Jesus asked her for a drink, this conversation happens and begins, and then... she starts to pour out of her heart about, "I want this water. I need this water that you're talking about. I need this eternal life. I need this thing that will cause me to never thirst again so that I can break free from the mundane, because I'm tired of coming to the same old well, doing the same old thing, getting up every day, doing the same processes. I need a bigger life. I need a bigger script. I need a bigger future to work towards." And Jesus literally says, "You can have it. You can have it." He says, "If you ask me for a drink, then I will give you something that is far more satisfying than what I'm asking of you." In this story, the woman was surprised that Jesus even socialized with her, communicated with her, and talked with her. Because in the day and age that we're reading this story from, Jews and Samaritans hated each other. I mean, it's like Queensland and New South Wales, state of origin time. They just didn't get along. There was no socialization or communication that happened. The Samaritans did not like the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans were considered a half-caste race and despised by the pure Jewish race. And they just didn't get along. Not only did they not get along, for a man to begin a conversation, and particularly a Jewish man, with a Samaritan woman was socially taboo, was socially inappropriate. So she was really amazed that he would even ask her to draw water for him. Identity fraud. Let me talk to you for a few moments about some issues regarding identity fraud. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband," which is a bizarre question when you're asking someone for a drink and you're having a conversation about water, and all of a sudden Jesus says, "Hey, by the way, go get your husband." Why did Jesus want the husband? What was the husband for? Was he there for accountability? Was he there to make the conversation appropriate and right? Or was Jesus piercing and questioning for something else under the radar of her heart? And I suggest to you that's what he was doing. It says in verse 16, Jesus said, "Go call your husband and come back here." And the woman answered, I have no husband. I haven't got a husband. I've had a few." Jesus said this, before she said that, Jesus said, "I know you have no husband. You've got five. You've had five. You've had five husbands." And then he says, "And the one you're with now, he's not even
Your husband. Can I suggest that anyone that's had five husbands has had a lot of pain? Some of you are thinking, I got one. That's enough. But when you've had five, if you had five, that's a bit of heartache going on right there. There's a little bit of rejection going on in that heart. There's a life of brokenness right there. Five times this has happened to this woman. Not only was Jesus thirsty, this woman carried about a desperateness in her heart that she tried to mask. And Jesus, our Savior, went straight to it and spoke to her past. I want you to notice that identity fraud and says to us that you are your past. You are your past. It tries to stick our past to us all the time. This single lady, this woman that had been married five times and is now living with a man that is not a husband, who had suffered all this brokenness and rejection. And Jesus is not afraid to go to her past and mention her past failings without making her feel like a failure. You know, Jesus has that amazing ability for us to highlight our past so that he can deal with our present, so that he can then bring us into a beautiful future. And he does it without us feeling like a failure. Sometimes people want to highlight our failings to make us feel like a failure, but Jesus never does that. He only ever highlights failings so that we can feel that there's a hope and there's a future and there's a better story that can unravel. The second thought of identity fraud is this, is life says to us and our circumstances say to us that you are your present reality. You are your present reality. In other words, it's a thought of, this is my lot in life. This is what I do. I'm a mum every day and I just have this routine and I just got to look after children all the time and I'll always be worn out. I'll always be tired. I'll always be exhausted. I'll never have time to myself again. I'll never have my career. I'll never really have an adventurous life. You know, all those thoughts go through the mind of a mother and then a father. Off to work every day. I owe. It's off to work. I go. And you know, the routine and the mundane of life. And it's so easy to think I'll never be free. And my family will always be like this. And I'm never going to move forward. What Jesus does for this woman, because undoubtedly she had these thoughts, every day I go to this well, I'm sick of going to this well, I'm tired of this well, I come to this well several times a day, I draw water, it's what I do, it's my profession, I'm the water drawer up from Jacob's well, and it's never going to get better. I've had five husbands, I'm with a man yet who's yet to be my husband, he might be number six, and then I'll be looking for number seven. And life just is this continual story of brokenness. And Jesus addresses this current reality, her script, and he says to her, the man you're living with, he's not your husband. And she said, you're telling the truth by telling me that you're not with your current husband. Jesus acknowledges exactly where she's at right now. Do you know, one of the great keys and thoughts to move forward in life in any area is to know where you're at now. And where you're at now is not your prison. It's just your moment. It's where you're at now. That's all it is. It's just where you're at. It doesn't mean it's where you'll always be. It's where you're at today. It's where you're at in this moment. It's where you're at in this season of life. So as a young mum, it's just where you're at now. It won't always be like this. If you're a mum of teenagers, it won't always be like this. If you're a mum of mature age children, it won't always be like this. Life will always change and always move forward and can move forward to a better script. What's important is that we understand the script and know the script and we help write the script for the future we want. We help write that script for the way that we want to live. You won't always be stuck if you feel like you're always stuck. The story here for this Samaritan woman is, you may be stuck right now, you may be in brokenness right now, you may be thirsty right now, you may be in heartache and pain right now, but I have an answer and I have a solution. I have eternal water. I have water you can't see. I have water, if you ask me for a drink, that you will never thirst again. How many people would like, I mean honestly, if someone could give you something that would satisfy your life so much that you never had to come back to that mundane thing again, every one of us would take it. Every one of us would take it. I mean, if someone said to me, you never have to go to work again, woohoo! I mean, seriously. If someone said that, awesome. It'd be fantastic. Someone said, you never have to eat food again. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. You never have to eat greens again. Woohoo! Never again. You don't have to go through this brokenness ever again. Woohoo! That's the kind of response that's in the heart of this
woman, and Jesus was about to give her an answer for her future. This is what identity fraud says to us, that you are your past, you are your present, and you have no future. The third thought, you have no future. This woman would have been thinking that. Five husbands, gone. Living with someone who's not my husband, he's maybe my next-to-be husband, and my future is not real good. All I do every day is come to this water and draw well and draw water. That's all I do every day. I do this. It's not much of a living. It's working 9 to 5. It's difficult. It's hard. It's insignificant. I don't have much to offer. How often do mums feel like that? What I do, does it really matter? Do they really appreciate it? You know, when they get into their teenage years, do they really appreciate it? Do they appreciate me for who I am? And it's easy, particularly for a mum, to think, I have little to offer. And Jesus comes to this woman who's potentially a mum, possibly a mum, and he offers her living water to this parched and weary soul, because he's about to change her future story in a moment. And he says to her in verse 14, everyone who drinks the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. And her response is, sir, can you please give me this water? Can you please give me this water? Let me close very quickly with some thoughts on developing our true identity. Our true identity, who we really are in Christ Jesus. The first thing to develop our true identity is for us to identify with Jesus. To identify with Jesus. You see, Jesus is not backwards in identifying with us. The Bible says he left heaven and he came to earth to live among us for a while so that we could behold his glory and his personhood. He came to identify with us. He didn't come as an alien. He came as a human being. God in the flesh to love us and identify with us and to show us who God is. Jesus also came to this woman this day. He broke all taboos, all social taboos and customs. He broke the rules and he talked with her. It was unheard of. He didn't care how it looked socially. He wasn't embarrassed to be aligned with this woman and to sit down and have this conversation because he knew she had a weary heart and a weary soul and she needed help. Can I say to everyone in the room today, not just mums, if you've got a weary heart and a weary soul and a parched soul, Jesus comes and he's not ashamed to sit down with you and to talk with you and to converse with you, to have conversation with you, because he wants to bring hope into your heart and he wants to break you out of the mundane of life and understand there's a better future, there's a better script and there's a better story, and he's got something to give you that's better than you'll find anywhere else. You won't find it at the pub, you won't find it at the club, you won't find it in your workplace, you won't find it in a relationship, you won't find it in a person, you won't find it in pizza. You will only find it in his purpose for the potential of your life. And so Jesus wanted to reset her labels and reset the rejection and reset the brokenness that was on her heart and her life to change her story. He knew her past and he knew her present, but he could also see her future. And he wanted to help work her towards this preferred future, this better story, this better outcome for her life. And so she embraces the invitation. She embraces. Here's the deal with an invitation. Invitations come with an RSVP. An RSVP means it's our opportunity to embrace the invitation, to embrace the opportunity. Jesus comes to us with an offer and an opportunity for life, and he's waiting for us to say, I'll be there. He's waiting for us to say, yes, please. Yes, thank you. He's waiting for us to say yes to the invitation that he gives us, like this woman on this day. She didn't hesitate. When she understood what Jesus was saying, you will never thirst again. This will satisfy you at a level of humanness that you cannot fathom or even begin to understand. Beyond all reasonableness, this is going to satisfy the real longings of your heart. She said, sir, please give me this water. I think that's the response that heaven looks for from every one of us today, that we would lean into heaven and lean into Jesus and identify with him and embrace the invitation that he gives to every one of us. So she embraced it, and no longer was her thought, why would this man talk to me? Her thought was, now I'm going to embrace everything he has to say. Not only, why would he talk to me? No longer that thought, it's now I'm going to embrace everything that he has to say. And so not only does she embrace it, She runs to the village and she says in verse 29 to all the villagers, everyone in her town, come and see a man that has told me everything that I ever did. Who wants to go see someone like that? Like seriously. Would you go see someone who could tell you everything you ever did? Like today, if I could just sort of mind read over you for a moment. And wow. Looking around the room and could see everything. Some people think that about pastors. They do. They think when they talk to the pastor says, everything about me. Can I say this? One word for pastors, clueless. No idea. We're not mind readers. Nobody is. We don't read minds. God reads hearts. He reads hearts and minds. He knows. And so when this woman came to God this day, came to Jesus this day, Jesus' heart read her past, read her present, but saw her future. And this is what God does. He doesn't read our past to keep us in pain. He reads our past to set us free from pain. He reads our present to set us free from hopelessness. And he unfolds our future to lift and inspire a heart of faith and hope. That's what he does. God's not cruel. He's kind. He's not cruel. He's kind. The Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And so she was led to repentance. She raced off to tell everybody. And she said, come, could this one be the Christ? Could he be the Messiah? Could he be the anointed one? And the Bible says a lot of people from the city, they came out and they were also impacted. And so not only did this little encounter and exchange affect her future story, it affected the hearts and lives of many other people. And can I say to every mum in the room today that your encounter with Jesus can not only change your heart, can change the story of your entire family. My mum had an encounter with Jesus on a honeymoon. Not the sort of thing you're expecting to encounter on your honeymoon. I mean, on your honeymoon, you go away to a special place and you're not expecting to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus. But my mum's story is this. On a honeymoon, my dad, who he went to, let's call it a club or a pub. He went to the pub with his brother-in-law, who was married to his sister. So the two boys, they went off to the pub. My mum, newly married on a honeymoon, went off with dad's sister to a Billy Graham crusade. Who goes to a Billy Graham crusade meeting on your honeymoon? Well, apparently, mum went there. Wasn't a believer. Went to this meeting. Had a life-changing, thirst-quenching, future story change moment. When she identified with Jesus and lifted up her hand and said, yes, can I have some of that water too? Not only did it change her story, it changed our story. For all the sorry. It changed everybody's story. It ultimately ended up changing my dad's story. You see how quick and how simple a story can change? In places we don't expect. A honeymoon. I don't know where you're at today, but if you're hearing me, I know you're here. When I say I don't know where you're at, I mean I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know what your well is. I don't know what you're going and drawing from every day that's not satisfying you. I don't know what life has done to you. I don't know what you've done to life. I don't know what's going on in your world, but can I say this? There's one that still draws water and wants to bring water to you, and it's living water. And Jesus promises it's something that will forever change your heart and your life if you embrace it and you identify with Jesus. That's the first thing we need to do, is identify with Jesus. The second thing we need to do is identify our words or our labels. Labels. There's labels over all of our lives. Labels that have attached themselves to our heart that kind of script a story about how we live and how we respond and who we be. And they're labels from things that people have said about you and said over you and said around you and conversations that have happened or hurt that's happened. Or maybe it's a husband or two husbands or three husbands or four husbands or five husbands. Or maybe it's a child that became a teenager that no longer wants to have anything to do with you. And there's a label, there's a heartache, there's a pain. Maybe it's loss, grief, sorrow, sadness. It's brokenness, it's heartache, it's pain, and it's scarred you. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it and indulge in it, they eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Be careful of the labels you embrace. Be careful of the labels you embrace. You're not stupid. You had a moment. We all have moments. Don't label yourself a fool because of a foolish moment. Don't let people do that to you. Don't label yourself insignificant because you felt small in somebody's presence. We all feel that from time to time. Be careful of the labels you wear. And lastly, as we have our team come to stage, I think the real key in identifying with Jesus, embracing him, and then recognizing our labels is to relabel ourselves and identify with his word and his words over our life. In other words, replace the labels with the labels that heaven has for you. Heaven's labels over your life, God's word about you. Maybe you've got words over your life like rejected. Heaven has a word to replace that word, and it's a word called accepted. So maybe rejection could be replaced and displaced with acceptance. Maybe broken is your label. Heaven's word for that is restored, that you could be restored. Maybe insignificant is your label. We'll drop the in and make it significant. Maybe weak is your label. Make it strong. Would you stand with me? Why don't we stand right across this hall today? Maybe alone or loneliness is your label. Replace it, reframe it today with family. The Bible says God takes the lonely and he places them in family today. Maybe fearful is your label. Replace it with faith-filled rather than fearful. Despised. Make it loved. Heaven wants you to know you're loved today. You're loved today. Anxious. Let God's peace surround your heart. Replace it with peace today. Maybe abandoned is your label. Heaven's answer to abandonment is found. Let heaven find you. Let heaven find your heart. See, heaven found the heart of this woman on this day. Let heaven find your heart. For heaven to find your heart, you need to listen to the word of heaven, like this woman did when she listened to the word of Jesus. And the word of heaven will do everything to get into your ear. It won't let anything stop it. Because heaven doesn't want us to live in a sense of abandonment and brokenness and rejection and lostness. It wants us to understand we're found. And I want to give you an invitation today. Not just for every mother, but for every lady, every man, every young person, every old person in this room today. If you'd close your eyes for just a moment. I want to tell you today that heaven has a plan, and it's an amazing plan and a wonderful plan. It's an ever unfolding plan. Jeremiah talks about it. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being, not for disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope." That's the script that God wants you and I to live by. Rather than just going through life tired and weary and broken and rejected, is to understand there's a reason. There's a reason. Yes, there are responsibilities that are going to weigh me down. Yes, there are challenges that are going to come against me. Yes, there's difficulties. Yes, there's a lot of things. But I have sustenance. I have something from heaven. I have Jesus Christ as a Savior in my heart that has cleansed my heart and washed away my sin and has given me a future and a hope. I may not be perfect, but I know who is. I may not be perfect in every area of my life, but I'm leaning into the perfect one today, and I'm placing my heart in His hands. And for every mum particularly today, can I say to you today, lean into heaven's heart and find your true identity. Because there's a real danger that you lose your identity in what you do. And I think the only answer for that is to realize your God-given identity, and your children are part of that process. They are a gift from heaven. They are your family. They are ones that we are to invest in to see them grow and develop and fulfill the plan and the purpose of God. And there is pain and heartache in the journey, not only joy, but never lose the hope that Jesus brings. Maybe you're here today, not just for mums, but for everyone in the room. Maybe you're here today and you need to make a response to Jesus today, like this woman did. Sir, please give me this water. Give me this answer. Give me this solution, because I'm tired. I'm just tired of running around looking everywhere else. I've tried this relationship and that relationship and another. I've tried so many relationships. I've tried alcohol. I've tried work and career. I've tried recreation. I've tried everything, and nothing is filling the thirst in my soul. That's because there's a God-shaped hole in you that only God can fill and only God can complete. And it's not until you say yes to Jesus that the journey to completeness and wholeness really begins. And so if you're in this room today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, I couldn't think of a better day than Mother's Day to say, yes, Jesus, please give me this drink. So I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand and look me right in the eye in a moment. Everyone else will have their eyes closed. This is just your moment and your opportunity. Before we go to morning tea, for you to say yes to Jesus today. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to do that at all. I promise I'm not going to do that. You can stay where you are. I'll stay where I am. I'll see your hand when you lift it up. Then you can put it down, and I'm simply going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray that Jesus would come into your heart and change your life story and the script of your life and the labels that are over you today. Maybe you've made the decision years ago and you're well away from Jesus, and today's the day to come home to heaven, to Jesus. So if you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ today, you know you need to. If you want to receive from heaven that thirst-quenching refreshment of God's presence in your life forever, that'll show you how to live and walk with you every day, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand nice and high right now and let me pray for you. Is that you? Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. Somebody else, is that you? Lift up your hand if that's you. We're going to take a moment to pray for you today. This is your moment. This is your well. This is your opportunity right now. If that's you, lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. We're going to pray for you. Last time, right across the hall, if that's you. Lift up your hand nice and high. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these four individuals today. These four men and women that have lifted up their hand and they've said, this is my well. This is my routine. This is my pattern. And it's not satisfying me. It's not doing it. And so I look to you today, Father, God, for you to quench the desire and the thirst and the need of my heart and my life. And I ask you to change me. I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I ask Jesus to come into my heart and be the Lord and the Savior of my life today. And I pray I'll never be the same again. I don't want to return to the same old, same old, same old. I need things to change, and I need them to change today. So I say yes to Jesus, and I give Him the invitation to start changing the labels of my heart and for the Word of God to become the direction of my life. I pray for that today, for each one that lifted their hand, in the beautiful, precious name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Why don't you give a hand to those that raise their hands today to say yes to Jesus for a life-changing moment and encounter in Jesus'
name. Amen. If you raise your hand, can I say this to you? Heaven loves you more than you could possibly imagine. Heaven's plan for you is to change the script of your mind and your heart to live a better story and a better future. We want to help you in that process. That's what coming to church is all about. We'd like to give you a Bible is what we'd like to do today. And give you a Bible and just get you to fill out a little card so we know who you are. And we'll help you do whatever you need to do in terms of moving life forward. We're not going to pester you. Just going to help you is what we're going to do. So if you could do me a huge favor, if you lifted your hand, if you could meet me at the sound desk, there's a drum there that says, I have decided. If you could meet me there at the conclusion of the service, we'd like the moment to give you a Bible, shake your hand, congratulate you on the best decision you've ever made. We're going to finish with an anthem of a song today, and we're going to sing our hearts out and worship heaven and just have a God moment before we leave for some special hospitality today. For the ladies of the house, we have the foyer for you, and for all those in the cheap seats, we're outside. And we've got free coffee today for all the mums. The coffee and tea is free for you. For all those of the male gender, you'll be paying. And yours is double. So let's have a great time of celebrating together. God bless all the mums today. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let's lift our hearts, our hands and sing.